One more time, Perek Memhei, Pasuk Yudalid. Koi Omar Hashem, Yigia Mitzrayim Usachar Kush Usvoim Anshe Mida Olayich Ya'avoru V'loch Yihyu. Now, according to the simple interpretation of this pasuk, according to Rashi and the Radak, Yeshaya here is shifting gears. He's now beginning to discuss his time, the time of Chizkiyahu, something that we've spent so much time on, and it's been mentioned so many times. Again, it is being repeated here at this moment. In other words, the last couple of sukkim, really from the beginning of the parashah, dealt with Koresh, and Yeshaya was jumping ahead generations. He's here, he's living in the lifetime of Chizkiyahu, the lifetime of Yeshaya, and he's telling Klal Yisrael, he's telling the world what's going to happen in 200 years from now. He's telling them there's going to be born a person, his name will be Koresh, he specifies, he actually says his name, and he describes who he is, his nation, and it appears that they understood this was a nation of Persia, of Paras, and people were in disbelief, because at this point in time, Bavel did not yet exist. So he's predicting that first, Sancher will fall, Asher, Sancher was the king of Asher, he will fall, and there'll be a new world power called Babel, which itself was something which no one believed, and then after that, there'll be, and that nation, the Nebuchadnezzar, Melch Babel, will succeed in conquering and destroying the Beis HaMikdash, and then there'll be a Koresh that will come and conquer and destroy Babel, and he'll be the one that will tell the Jewish people to go back and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So he's predicting things that are way, way, way ahead in the future, which were hard to grip. Now he says, if you don't want to, if it's too much to swallow, too much to handle, let's focus on something that's more practical, that's more realistic, that's current. And what is that? What's going to happen in a few short years from now, or in the immediate future? The fall of Sancheriv, which people also did not believe, because how could it be that Sancheriv, with his army, 185,000 generals, how could it possibly be that he will be defeated? But yes, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And with Sancheriv will also fall Mitzrayim, Usechar, and Kush, and Usvam, three different nations. Now we know the story. Let's review what happened. We learned there are four prokim in Yeshaya. There were many prokim in Yosef Malachim that dealt with this. That basically Sancheriv conquered the entire civilized world. And the last crown jewel he wanted was to conquer Yerushalayim. He already conquered the Aseret HaShvatim. He already conquered most of the cities of Yehuda. The last thing was Yerushalayim. He came to Yerushalayim. He sent his general or his spokesman, chief of staff, Rav Shake. And Rav Shake was an apostate. He said terrible things. And they told him to be quiet. And they said, what do you want him to just surrender? And indeed, Chizkiyahu had a lot of trouble. He had internal trouble. He had this person, Shevna, and Shevna wanted to surrender. So there's a lot going on. And suddenly, as he was going in for the kill, all of a sudden, Sancheriv got a report that Kush and Mitzri Kush is rebelling. There's a country called Sevoim. And they had an alliance with Mitzrayim, and they are rebelling against the authority of Sancheriv. So what happened? So Sancheriv said, you know what, Rav Shaki, tell Yehuda, I'm going to take a detour. For the moment, I'm not going to conquer Yerushalayim. I have some matters I must attend to. I'm going to first squash the rebellion of Kush and Tzvam and Mitzrayim. And when I finish squashing that rebellion, I shall return. And indeed he did. He went to Kush, he went to Tzvam, he went to Mitzrayim, he conquered them. And this was to the benefit of Klal Yisrael. Why was this to the benefit of Klal Yisrael? So we learned this many times, because when he conquered Kush, Tzvam, and Mitzrayim, he collected booty, enormous wealth. And they loaded up this wealth on their wagons, on their animals, and on their body, and on themselves. And then they returned to Yerushalayim, and they laid siege once again. But here, when they laid siege a second time, they came with all of the wealth of Kush, Mitzrayim, and Sevoim. And then when the miracle happened on the night of Pesach, where all of the generals died, and they got and the people in Yerushalayim got word. They came outside. They saw their bodies were just lifeless bodies. And what did they take? They took for themselves, the people of Yerushalayim who were poor and who were suffering, who were starving. They took all of the spoils, not just the property of Sancheirev. They took with them, they took all of the spoils of Cush, Sivohim, and Mitzrayim. So this was a hidden blessing for the people of Yerushalayim that Sancheirev took this detour to go to Cush and Mitzrayim to collect the booty, to bring it to the walls of Yerushalayim, and then when he would be defeated, all of this wealth would now come to the people of Yerushalayim. And that's exactly what Yeshaya, so he's telling them these things which are very going to happen very soon, in a very short period of time. So Koyam Hashem, so says Hashem, I'm telling you, you don't believe me what's going to happen in 200 years from now, but at least believe me what's going to happen in a few years from now. Yigia Mitzrayim, the wealth, the work which has they have attained, the wealth of Mitzrayim, Usechar Kush, the profits, the merchandise of Kush, Usevoyim, another country in that region, Anshe Mida, people of great wealth. Mida means measure. Mida gedoyla means people that are extremely wealthy. Olayich yavoru. I'm going to cause all of their merchandise, their wealth, all of their property to come to you the people of Yehuda Yerushalayim. V'loch yiyu, and to you it will be. Acharayich yelechu, and they will come to you. And this means that in addition to the wealth coming to the walls of Yerushalayim, they brought with them prisoners. When Sancheirev and his army conquered Cush, Mitzrayim, and Sivohim, they took them as slaves, as captives, and they brought them to Yerushalayim. It appears they wanted them to use them as a labor force. When they would come to Yerushalayim, they would want to build, to do different things after they would conquer Yerushalayim, and they needed these people to serve as slaves. So they will come, Acharayich Yelechu, Bazikim Ya'avar, the people, the inhabitants of this land will come in chains, they will come in shackles to you, Ve'laich Yishtachavu, and then after the miracle of the army dying, there were large numbers of captives that happened to be there because they were brought there, and they will bow down to the people of Yerushalayim and basically beg for their lives and beg the people of Yerushalayim for their freedom. Eilayich to you yisfalolu. They will pray, fasting thing. Simply, this means the Mitzvah says doesn't mean Ramah. They didn't view the Jewish people as gods. They just view it means here an expression of to pray, to beg for their lives, because now that Sancheirev is dead, his army is no longer. Who is the new leader? Who is in control?
The
new master are the Jewish people. So they're begging for their lives. Ach Bach, and they will acknowledge. And when these people see what has happened, the miracle, they will say, Ach, they will say, certainly, Bochkel, the only true God is among you, the Jewish people, the Ein Od, there is nothing else, Efes Elokim, there is nothing other than Hashem. The Ein Od, Efes Elokim, there is nothing other, Efes means nothing, below Od, Ein Od means also nothing, two different expressions, there is nothing other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then they will say, Ochein, they will say it is certain that Atokel Mistater. They will acknowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a hidden God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways are, and this is something which was a novelty to the people at the time of Sancheirev, all of the nation of the world of Sivam and Cush, because they always believed gods. They had black magic and all different types of Koiches Atuma, where to be a god, you had to do something. You had to produce. Something had to happen. Things, miracles had to happen. Now they were able to do strange things that we know. For the Koyach of Tumah, of Kishuf, they were able to do what appeared to be miracles, to change water into blood, to cause snakes to come, and to do all these incredible things. They realized it's all nonsense. This black magic in Kishuf is nonsense. The true God, Kadosh Baruch Hu, He acts in hidden ways. Hashem doesn't go every day cause a miracle to happen, the sun to stop. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He conducts the world in a hidden way. Achein it is certain, Ato kel mistater. You are a hidden God. Elokei Yisrael Moshiach, the God of Yisrael is the Savior. Boshuv gam nichlamu kulam all the entire world, all the nations of the world at this time, at the time of the fullness, will be in shame, they'll be embarrassed, they'll be ashamed, kulam, all them yachtav holchu bachlima, they will all go in shame, they will all walk in shame, different experience of shame, choroshei tzirim, the craftsmen of images. Harasha means a craftsman, and tzirim lashon of tzura, of an image, those that make, those that manufacture, produce idols. Because idols are tzura, that's what it says over here in the Mitzvah Sion, tzireha, tzirim, he has a different word here for some, tzireha, tzirei hatzuros, those that form images. So another word for a craftsman, those that worship and manufacture idols, they'll be thoroughly ashamed when they recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's actions, his hidden ways, how he brought about the downfall of Sancheriv, and how he, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, brought, he saved the Jewish people the trouble of going to retrieve wealth from the four corners of the earth. He brought the wealth to the doorstep of Yerushalayim. That was a hidden gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed for his people. And now we have this famous pasuk which we say in the Slichos, we say on the Yom Nerohim, Yisrael Noisha B'Hashem, Teshuas Elohim, Yisrael, they derive their salvation from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the salvation of Olamim, of the world. Let's see exactly how the Mitzudos Kedah, we say this in Davening, so we should see exactly how the Mitzudos translates these words, because there is no Rashi on these words. If I'm not mistaken, the Mitzudos says, Yisrael Nosha B'Hashem, Aval Yisrael, Yihye Nosha, they will be saved, Be'ezer Hashem, with the help of Hashem, Teshua HaMiskayemes, Teshua Salam means that the salvation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu endures forever. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu does something, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings salvation, it's not just for the moment. It's not just temporary, it is forever. Teshua HaMiskayemes, La'olam u'lachain, therefore, since it lasts forever, lo seivoshu, they will not be ashamed, k'mo sheivoshu ovdei pe'hapasim, like those that worship us. So that's the simple interpretation of the pasuk. It's kedai to know, because we say this in davening, that Yisrael nosha b'Hashem, Yisrael, they derive their salvation from the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and the salvation of the Kodesh Baruch Hu is a teshuas oilamim, lasts forever. And therefore, we're never ashamed. The goyim, the nations of the world who have faith in idols, and in the mazolos and all other forms of on their koichi ve'itzim yadi, it is not a salvation that endures. It's only for the time, and ultimately they are filled with shame in why they put their faith in these things. Lo sevosh lo sikomu ad ol me'ad, they will not be ashamed forever and ever. Okay, so that basically from pasuk gedal to pasuk yitzayin is the pshat, the simple interpretation according to the way Rashi and the way the mitzvahs learn pshat on the pasuk is that here Yeshaya, to review what the parak until now was discussing, Koresh was discussing events that would happen over 200 years from the time that Yeshaya is speaking, and it was very hard for the people to swallow such events. I mean, can you imagine someone will come to you today and will tell you what's going to be in 200 years from now? I mean, Mashiach should be here by tomorrow. So I'll tell you what life is going to be like in the times of Mashiach. It's impossible to grasp. It's impossible to grasp what will be in 5 years from now. So to grasp what's going to be in 200 years from now, it's certainly impossible. And obviously they had a very hard time with this. So therefore he calms them down. So let me tell you some things that's going to happen in the very near future. Could even be imminent. Could be that he's speaking, that it's not clear exactly when he says this. Yeshaya said prophecy for 87 years. He died 15 years after 14. Was it 14 years or 15 years after the miracle of Sancheriv? So it's not exactly clear when he said this during those first 87 years. But he's telling them things that are going to happen in the foreseeable future. Okay, that is the simple interpretation. Rav Schwab has an incredible, awesome chidushim here on these pesukim. And he interprets these pesukim as a continuation of the time of Koresh. Everything until now, until Pasuk Yidalet, through Pasuk Yid Gimel, we are dealing with the time period of Koresh, the Parsim Adai. Koresh is going to conquer the world, he's going to conquer Nebuchadnezzar. He will take control, he will tell the Jewish people to go back and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and that's what we learned yesterday. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I have awakened you, Pasuk Yud Gimel, that was listening yesterday, I have awakened you, Nebuchadnezzar, I've called in your name, I'm telling you, before you're born, I'm already predicting that you're going to exist, I'm already telling the world what your name is going to be, and I'm giving you a mission that I want you yourself to be, take an active role, a proactive role in rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash and returning the Jewish people back to their homeland. Okay, and now we continue. And Pasuk Yedalid means, is describing the wealth that Koresh will gain. Koresh will be the one that will gain the wealth of Mitzrayim and Cush and Sevahim and Anshe Nida Alayich Yavar. Koresh, this Pasuk is talking to Koresh. You will conquer the world. You will conquer Egypt, you'll conquer Cush, you'll conquer Sevahim, and the wealth of the entire world will come your way. And people will come to you in chains, and people will bow down to you. People will recognize through you that there is no other God. In other words, we discussed that Koresh, I don't know if we discussed in detail, but Koresh was the first king, we mentioned this, Koresh was the first king of the world that acknowledged the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that his success, Hashem has spoken to me, Hashem told me before I was, already predicted before I was born that I would exist, and has told me that the Jewish people should return and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, unlike Nebuchadnezzar, unlike Ashur, the Sancheriv, unlike Paro, unlike all the kings. We read that Mitzudo Sion inside where they had these arrogant statements that it's Koichi V'Oitzim Yodi that brought about my success. Koresh was the first one that publicly recognized that his success has come directly through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is an incredible Kiddush Shem Shemayim. And through him, the world woke up to recognize. So according to Rabbi Shraba, I don't think it means literally they're going to pray to Koresh, but through Koresh they're also going to follow in his ways and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they're going to recognize, as he recognized, that Ach B'chokel, that among Klal Yisrael there is a God, and there's no God other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now comes something that is amazing. Pasuk Tezvav. After Koresh, Hashem promises this incredible wealth, success, because he made the Kiddush Shem Shemayim, and the world will come to a certain degree of recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech. All of a sudden, Koresh stops in his tracks. What did Koresh do? He failed. He did not take an active role in building Beis HaMikdash. He did not put everyone on boats and ships and planes and tell them to go back. He said, you want to go? Go. I'm not going to stop you. You can build the Beis HaMikdash. Fine. So 42,000 people return. They start building the Beis HaMikdash. And all of a sudden, he gets a letter from some of the people living there in the neighborhood that the Jews are rebelling. They are rebelling. So what does Koresh say? Stop building the Beis HaMikdash. Stop, I change my mind. Not only did he not do Hashem's will, he retracted. Stop. How long did this happen for? For 14 years. There was a 14-year halt in the building of the Beis HaMikdash. What happened during those 14 years? Achashverosh died. And then Achashverosh, there was a Daryavish. Achashverosh, I have to go all the different names, but Achashverosh took the throne. One of the Persian kings, like you mentioned yesterday, that once the Persians got control of the Malchus, they never relinquished their control to the Modai. That was the original deal, that if the kings will come from us, and the governors will come from you, and we'll alternate. So after Koresh died, the Malchus should have been restored to Modai, and the governors would be taken from Paras. But that never happened. It was never... That shift never happened, but Koresh put a stop on the building of the Beis HaMikdash. This lasts for 14 years, and during those 14 years, Achashverosh became the Melech. And what happened during those 14 years? Haman rose to power, and the gezerah was lahashmid laharog ulabid es kol hayehudim minar v'yadzokein taf v'noshim b'yom echad. And that time in history, Chazal described as the ultimate time of the Anochi Haster Aster Panai, the ultimate Hester Panai. Like you can say the Holocaust Hester Muchlat, but until the time of the Holocaust, that period of time in history was the ultimate time of Hester Panim. So that's what the pasuk over here says. So we're continuing in the theme. We're continuing in the time of Koresh. We're not going back to current events of the time of Yeshayahu and Asher. Achein, although these wonderful things are unfolding, are happening, and Koresh is here, and Hashem has awakened him to do these wonderful things, and Hashem has granted him enormous success, and he started a process, but he turned sour. He halted the Beis HaMikdash, and now he died. Achashverosh takes his place, and he allows Haman to rise to power, and the Jewish people are barely survive. Ochein atokel, you are a God, mistater, that hides himself. The miracle of Purim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hid himself, Hester upon him, Elokei Yisrael Moshiach. But then, at the last moment, even during times of Hester upon him, you have come forward and you have saved the Jewish people. So then, and then it goes on to say, then when we were saved through the miracle of Purim, the enemies of the world were ashamed, they were embarrassed, and Yisrael Neshar Hashem Teshuas Olamim, according to this interpretation, it's an incredible statement, is it refers to Purim. According to Rav Schwab, every time we say this Nusach on Yom Neraim, we say this during Fistadav, say Bahab, Yisrael Neshar Hashem Teshuas Olamim, Lo Sevosh, Lo Sikomu Ad Ol Me'ad, is a reference to the miracle of Purim, following in the entire theme of this parak. Yes.
You can see in this pasuk elements of it that are found in Shoshana Siakov.
For example,
excellent.
So you really see, it's an incredible insight Rav Schwab is doing here. Continuing, it's very important. You learn that's everything that we say. Again, we always say it's in davening. All the nuschos of davening are taken from Tanakh. Everything, and when you just have little bits and pieces, okay, so it's taken out of context. So the words have meaning in and of itself, and it means it's very powerful. But when you see it in the larger context, in the bigger picture, it's wow, takes on a whole different meaning. And the whole parak here is Koyamar Hashem l'mashicho l'koresh. That's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with the timeline. And we're dealing here suddenly, in the middle of nowhere. 14 years. Achein atokel mistater. And then we have this theme of Yisrael Noishab Hashem Teshuva Salam, the miracle of Purim. This is a real reference to that miracle. Pasuk Yitzchaz. Koyama Hashem. Now we go further. Ki koyama Hashem boreis shamayim. So says Hashem, the creator of the heavens. Who Elohim? Hashem is the God. He is our God. Yoytzer Oretz. Hashem creates the earth. The Osehu koinu. And he establishes it. He creates it. And choinu, he creates it and establishes it. Hashem did not create the world that it should be desolate. Hashem created the world that it should be occupied. Ani Hashem is I Hashem. You know, this is a very famous pasuk. This pasuk is quoted in the Gemara all over the place. It is the mitzvah of Periya Revia, the mitzvah to get married and have children. And this mitzvah, Chazal, there are many areas of halacha where the mitzvah of getting married, pre-urviah, overrides just about every other mitzvah. Whenever there are conflicts between different mitzvahs, different situations of you name it. I don't have examples for you, but yeah, we go through the Gemaras. It always comes up this idea where loisayhu v'ra'ah. Person is here on this world. The purpose of being on this world is not that the world should be desolate. L'sheves yitzar. It's that it should be inhabited. And a person has an obligation to participate in that process by getting married and having children. And Hashem the ein oit. Pasuk yutes. Loi vaseser dibarti. This goes back to something we mentioned already a few times, that Yadus is different than all other religions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he revealed himself, what is the unique nature, what is the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael? Where do we derive our religion from? Let's put it in those words. From Matan Torah. This is the number one Yisod of Yadus. Why are we special? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah at Matan Torah. Har Sinai. Har Sinai is where it all began. Okay, there are the Avos, Avraham, the Yitzchak, and Yaakov, but the source of Kedusha for Klal Yisrael is Matan Torah. There, there was no secrets. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to every single member of Klal Yisrael. No one, it wasn't, everyone gathered around Matan Torah.
The
whole world was a witness to this event. Unlike all other religions. All other religions, they have one leader. What are your credentials? God spoke to me. Oh, really? You have any witnesses? Anyone can attest to the fact that God spoke to you? No. Secret. Only me. Really? Nah, so what are your credentials? Talk about Christianity, talk about Islam, talk about... What are your credentials? God had a revelation revealed to one person. That's nonsense. Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when He revealed Himself to Klal Yisrael, every member of Klal Yisrael was present. No secrets. Loi vaseser dibarti. I didn't speak to you in hiding, in secrecy. Bimkoim eretz choshech. I didn't speak to you in a dark land. It's somewhere in a basement, in a cave, where no one knew about this revelation. Loi amarti lezer Yaakov. Now this is another idea. I didn't tell Zer Yaakov tohu vakshun. This is a different idea. Well, there are different interpretations of what this means, but it's one interpretation. I didn't tell you to serve me for nothing. I promise you great reward for serving Hashem. Although we know in Pirkei Avos, Chazal tell us, do not serve your Creator, al nas lekabel pras, ela serve Hashem, al nas shelo lekabel pras. But putting that aside, of course, that's our attitude. But you should know in the back of your mind, there will be enormous reward. You will be rewarded for serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I didn't tell you to serve me for nothing. We'll read the words of the Mitzvot in a moment. Ani Hashem, and Zai Hashem, Dover Tzedek. I spoke words of righteousness. I gave you the Torah. I gave you mitzvahs. By Matan Torah, there were different mitzvahs that were given. There was Shabbos, there was Kibbut Av. There were different mitzvahs that were given. Dover Tzedek, Magid, Meisharim. I spoke words that are upright. Unlike other religions, there are laws which make no sense. Things which are totally ridiculous, things which are cruel. Mr. Nussbaum? Mr. Do you have kinos?
Yes.
Could you get for us?
How many would you like?
For everyone.
Right now?
No. For later.
Later.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Top shelf over here.
Okay. Okay, great. Thanks. Doiver, Ani Hashem, Doiver Tzedek, Magid, I have spoke words of Meisham, which are upper. Let's hear the words of the Mitzvah, because the Pasuk Yates. Pasuk Yates, Loi Basis Dibarati. So these are very Yisodistic of Pesukim, that's what we have to see inside. Loi Basis Dibarati, Kishribati Divarai Al Har Sinai. When I spoke, this is what you answer to the missionaries. This is part of the course. You have to be professionally trained but this is what they teach you. It's Kedai, you know, you pick up to National, you're learning Yeshaya. A lot of their Mishagasim come from Yeshaya. So you have to know Yeshaya. Now that you know Yeshaya, you know how to answer them. Well, not you shouldn't answer them unless you really are trained. But most of the people that come around, they don't know anything anyway, so it's not a big deal. Okay. Loi b'sei sedibarti, kishadibarti devarai al har Sinai. When I spoke my words in har Sinai, haloi loi b'sei sedibarti, I didn't speak to you in secrecy. Vlodim koim eretz choyshech, ki adovar hoya mifursam b'chol ha'olam, v'yemkein hoya lechem lo'umos b'yam ha'ila lo'dash ani Hashem. Therefore, it's not, everyone should know that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the only God, and there's no one but Klal Yisrael. Loi amarti, next words of Moses, kishamarti lechem ha'mitzos, loi amarti lechem shalat seisam al toyuhu uvichinam. I didn't tell you to do it for free. Kiim lekabaleim socher harbe. The reward for the mitzvahs will bring great reward. They're fools. The nations of the world are fools. They could have enjoyed the Torah they want. They could have taken the Torah for themselves as well. And they could have received the incredible reward that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised with the giving of the Torah. And instead they're fools. They chose to worship idols with no benefit. Doiver tzedek. Now, what does these words mean in the pasuk? Doiver tzedek. Bitchila marti atzedek shetase b'schar hamitzvah. First, I told them. So doiver tzedek means do. This is really repeating what he just said before, that you shall do the mitzvahs for reward. I told you words of righteousness. It's kindness. If you observe my mitzvahs, there will be reward, and then the achar kacha, the next words, the concluding words of this pasuk, higarati meisharim. What are the meisharim? Heim chukosai v'sorosai, my laws shekoidem matan torah lochem. That before matan torah, before Hashem gave them all of the mitzvot, Hashem gave them a select group of mitzvot. You'll be a chosen nation. Different words of chizek, meisharim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to the Mitzvah, meisharim, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was mechazek them, that you will be for me a chosen nation if you will only accept and observe the Torah. You will receive reward, and you will be a chosen nation. That's what these expressions allude to, the tzedek and the divrei meisharim, words of encouragement and words of reward. Okay, pasuk chaf. Now he comes to criticize the Oivdei Avodah Zarah, as is common over here, you go back and forth in these different themes. Koi, he comes to Vayu, come close, come, gather together and come, his Nagishu Yachtav, three different expressions. He Kavasu, Vavohu, and his Nagishu, to come near. Gather, come, and draw near. There must be some great significance on why there are three expressions, three different types of coming together and gathering. Plite Hagoyim. Plite means the Psoilas. The lowlifes of the nations, the lowest class of society. Who are the lowest class of society? It means anyone that worships idols. You may be extremely wealthy and may have a lot of stature in society. It's meaningless. If you worship idols, you're nothing other than the plite hagoyim lo yadu, those that do not know. They do not know the truth. What do they do instead? They lift up upon a piece of wood their idol. These are fools. The people, they don't know the truth. Lo yadu, according to the Mitzudos, it says, here's one. Let's read the whole passage. Read the Mitzudos. Lo yadu hanoisim, those that lift up esetz pislam, who lift up high, they elevate a piece of wood as their god. Umispalalim el lo yoshia aleinu, and they daven too. They pray to a guy. A famous phrase which has been deleted, unfortunately, due to the censors. Umispalalim el lo yoshia. Very famous pasuk. Let's see the this pasuk. Hikapsu hapechusim shibakam, the low lives, the lowest stature of the non-Jews. Ha'ivdei ha'elul hikapsu aboilai hisnak shukuchem yachad lehisvakachimi. To take Musa, I want to give you rebuke. I want to chastise you for aval imadi aval hanoisim es eitz pislam. But those that lift up es eitz pislam asher lo yomish milukaymoi hamispalim el asher lo yuchal yishlo yeshia lo yosimu leiv ladas lo hamasem. They are hopeless. Those that lift up a piece of wood, that's what it means, lo yadu. They will never understand. They will never be able to, they're so far gone and so far lost, they are not going to comprehend the words of my musar, my rebuke, because they only want to lift up this piece of wood that they serve as a god and which they bow down to. Now, by the way, we all know that this was removed from the Oleinu. And if you read the Oleinu, if you don't hear these words, it doesn't make any sense. Because Va'anachnu, what happened to Oleinu? We say Oleinu L'shvech, I have to go, I get all confused. Shloisanu ki goyei horatzos, v'losamanu ki mishpachos hu adama, shloisam chelkeinu kohem, v'goroleinu ki chol hamonam, period. You did not make us like them. Va'anachnu koyreim u'mishtacha v'imamodim. What is Va'anachnu? The words Zanachnu, if you don't add the phrase Shehem, if you add the phrase Shehem, Mishtachavim, Lehevel Vorik, they bow down to nothing, Umispalalim, El Lo Yoshia, then it makes sense, but we're not like them. Va'anachnu, Koriim, Umishtachavim, Lefne Melech Malchim Lachim. But if you remove this expression and you just say Shlosam, Chelkein, Gohem, Ogorlein, Kechol Hamonam, now all of a sudden they say Va'anachnu, Koriim, Umishtachavim, why Va'anachnu? Kechol hamonam, like you know, like what's va'anachn and we, anachn. I don't know exactly how it should be phrased, but it's obvious from the word va'anachnu that there was something missing before. It could have been worded in a more, it would flow much better if the words would have been arranged differently if it was true that this expression was not part of the, because you should know there are people, it's a shocking thing to believe, there are people that tell you that it's not true. It's hard to believe. Shehim, Meshach, Mehevavik, Mesamon, Lo Yeshia was not deleted. It was never part of Aleinu. You have to study the people, and a lot of people are furious. It's not true. We know for a fact in Old Siddurim that it was there. Yeah?
You can see clearly why, especially the Christians, would have.
Of course! It's a direct reference in Elo Yeshia.
Putting their Savior on a piece of wood.
Uh huh. Very good. Okay. A crucifix. Very good. I didn't notice that. Hanoisim, it's a hidden prophecy here. Hanoisim es eitz pislam, who lift up on a piece of wood their pestle umespalim el Yeshia. Fascinating. I never picked up on that. So it's really a veiled reference to a lot of things like that in Yeshaya, where we look at it today in hindsight. It has many layers of interpretation. It's a direct reference to them, umespalim el Yeshia to them. Okay, we once spoke about this. We did a whole show on Aleinu. And we said that in Aleinu, if you look here in Aleinu, maybe there are two themes. Just run through very quickly. We'll stop with this pasuk. So we just bring up, get a sitter very quickly. Chazara. Okay, not everyone was here when we did Aleinu. In Aleinu, Shaloisam Chalkeinu Kohem Agor Aleinu Kuchol Hamanam. So we had a Medrash, and the Medrash said that Chalkeinu Ashreinu Matoiv Chalkeinu Manoam Agor Aleinu Mayofa Yerusha Seinu. Ashreinu Matoiv Chalkeinu Avraham and not Yishmoel. Chalkeinu is a Rebbe, is a Medrash. Chalkeinu means Avraham had two children, Yishmael and Yitzchak. So Baruch Hashem, Ashreinu Matoiv Chalkeinu, our portion comes from Yitzchak and not from Yishmael. Matoiv Ma'noim Goyroleinu is Yitzchak had Esav and Yaakov. So the Goyroleinu, our lot, refers to Yaakov and not Esav. Umayofa Yerusha Seinu is the Yerusha of the 12 Shvatim, which is Yofa, it is the Mitasai Shlema. So therefore, since according to the Medrash, the word Chalkeinu is a reference to a rejection of Yishmael, and Goroleinu is the rejection of Esav, and Yerusha refers to Klal Yisrael, it fits perfectly into the words of Aleinu. Shaloi Sam Chalkeinu, can we first thank Kadosh Baruch Hu that we are not from the nation of Yishmael. And then we say V'goraleinu kechol hamonam, we thank Kadosh Baruch Hu that we're not from the nation of Esav. And then we go further, Shehei Mishtachavim Lehevel V'Rik, who bows down to Hevel and Rik? What does Rashi say about the Aravim? The Aravim, which the people of the Yishmaelim, which took on their religion, of the Aravim, they bow down to the Avak Raglehem. So we thank Kadosh Baruch Hu, we repeat, Baruch Hashem, we're not from Yishmael. Baruch Hashem, we're not from Esav. Because if we were from Yishmael, then we would be bowing down to the Hevel Varik, to nothingness, to the dust of our feet. And if we were from the nation of Esav, what did they take hold of on later years? Esav, this talks about 500 years later, the descendants of Esav, they took on Christianity. And that is Umispalalim El Lo Yoshia. We're not like that. We're not from Esav. We're not from Yishmael. The two major religions. We're clash of Anachnu Koyreim Umeshtach Modim Ufnei Melech Malchim Lochim Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So that fits perfectly well to Leinu. And then, if you go even further, we mentioned before where we add a little bit of a drush is that the world clearly comes from the three children of Noach: Shem, Chom, and Yefes. We all come from Shem. Everyone comes from Shem. The Yishmaelim come from Shem. And the Bnei Esav come from Shem. But there's more to the world. The world is a big place. There are almost 5 billion people out there. And a good part of the world comes from Yefes and from Chom. So when we start off, we say, Shaloi Osanu Kigoye, we were not able to figure out which one this refers to, but let's make believe. Shaloi Osanu Kigoye Ho Arotzos. You did not make us like the nations of the world, let's say it's Yefes. And Veloi Samanu Kimishbachois Ho Adama Chom. One refers to Chom, one refers to Yefes. So who's left? The whole world comes from Shem Chom and Yefes, and we didn't come from Chom. And we're not from Yefes, Baruch Hashem, we're not from those nations. The only two nations left, only nation left is Shem. But Shem also includes Esav and Yishmael. So we go weiter. And among the descendants of Shem, Shaloi Sam Chelkeinu Kohen. We're not like Yishmael. The girl Leinu Kechol Hamanam, we're not like Esav. So in the Aleinu, we're going through all of the nations of the world from the time of Noach, where the whole world comes from. We reject Chom, we reject Yefes. Among Shem, we reject Yishmael and Esav. We are Klal Yisrael, Mayofa, Yerusha Seinu. And like you said, a fantastic thing, that Hanoisin es Eitz Pistam, those are lift up to a piece of wood, they're Pesel. It's fascinating. The time of the Crusades, they were obsessed with the relics. When they went out to war, they took with them what they believed was a piece. What was it called? I don't know.
Shroud?
A piece of the true. First of all, there was a Meshuggah there. The Meshuggah that they found a sword. He had this crazy vision. There was a time during the Crusades when they were extremely desperate. The Muslims. This was after the first Crusade. Where the Christians were defeated, they conquered a number of cities. They had the kingdom, a whole collection of cities in Eretz Yisrael, and then the Muslims struck back. And the Muslims they gave them a run for their money, for their life. And it came to a point where they were extremely desperate. They were about to be wiped out, a collection of the Crusaders, and there was a Meshuggah that had a dream. That in this church, they say he made it up, is one of the relics, the sword that actually killed Yashka in this church somewhere. It's buried in the basement. So they spent a few days digging up the church, and they found it. And they took it with them out into battle, and they claimed that because they took it out into battle, it saved them. And then another story, they took a piece of wood, which they say came from the crucifix that he was killed on, and that's exactly what it says over here. Is Hanosim es Eitz Pislam umespalim el Elo Yoshia. This is a clear rejection of that idea. Okay, so we'll stop here.